We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's right. You hear him here every Tuesday morning. 11 a.m. is when Michael Lombardi joins the fellas each and every week. It's Nick Szczepkowski, Kevin Zipak in for Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins this morning, as we are today. And it's that time, Michael Lombardi time, as we go out to the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. That's where we find Michael Lombardi. Follow him on Twitter for all of his NFL news at MLombardi. Michael, thank you for the time, as always. The news from Ian Rappaport over the weekend that Ted Phillips is searching for the Bears' next head coach. He's researching. What did you make of that report, and what does it say about the Bears?
Well, you know, obviously, we've talked about it numerous times. I mean, I think this is something that I'm sure the Bears have thought long and hard about, not just this week, going back in October and understanding the situation. And I think it's just, you know, this is what happens in the NFL when you don't win and you haven't proven that you've got the direction of the team headed to where it needs to go. So it's not surprising at all. I think this is fully expected, and I think everybody in the NFL recognizes that the Bears' job will be open come next week.
What has Ryan Pace done during his time in Chicago to have the privilege to select the next head coach?
You know, that's a great question. I think that, you know, oftentimes the relationship with the owners feel comfortable with the general manager. I've often felt that the coach and the GM have to be tied at the hip. And if you're not, then you have these situations that come up, which, you know, you ask the question. I mean, you sign Mike Lennon, you trade for Mitchell Trubisky. You know, I mean, it ends up being a disconnected organization. So I think it's a fair question, and I think that the next coach, if Ryan Pace is there, and it sounds like from everybody I talk to in the NFL that Ryan Pace is going to be there, has to be attached at the hip with the coach, because, you know, these are his players. This is his team. He built this team. I mean, this is basically what it is. And if anybody thinks that, you know, this team can win and compete at the highest level with the players it currently has, I think would be making a mistake.
Hey, are we making too much of it here in Chicago? Because Ted Phillips' name was mentioned in that report of the researching and working the back channels. Does that say anything about the Bears and the way that their front office is constructed? Or is there too much kind of that we might be putting into the fact that Phillips was mentioned?
No, look, I think it's pretty clear Ted's going to have a role. I mean, Ted's the president of the team. I mean, he reports to the ownership group. I mean, he's going to have a role. Everybody wants to be able to pick the next coach. I mean, that's part of the problem. That's why one-third of the workforce gets relieved every 2 years in the National Football League. I mean, every year. You know, there's usually six, seven, eight openings. I mean, that's a third of the workforce. And the reason is because you have too many people involved, and you have too many people that think they know what a really good coach is, but they have no idea what a really good coach is, or they have no idea what a leadership is. They have no idea about what it really would take to set up a program for you to build a team that could sustain itself over time. And I think that's part of the problem in sports, is there are very few people that can do that. There's very few people that recognize what it takes. Everybody wants to win the press conference. Everybody wants to go there and say, there's the guy, you know, here's who we have. When winning the press conference really doesn't matter. It's winning games. I think that's ultimately what matters.
Hey, when you look at this and evaluate the Bears from the roster that the next coach will inherit and working with the inner workings of this front office, how attractive is it of the potential, what, 8-10 coaching changes there might be?
Well, I mean, look, it's the Chicago Bears. It's one of the great franchises of all time. And, you know, you're sitting in the same building that, you know, Papa Bear started out, and, you know, it's maybe not the
same
building.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, Michael.
It's got great history, you know, and I think that, look, you got to come to the realization that you're going to have to make it work with Trubisky, because that's going to be the thing. And if you like Mitchell Trubisky as a player and you feel like you can develop a system around him and he likes football enough, I think the challenge is going to be is if the candidates that look at this, are they sold and can they go all in? They'll tell you that in the interview, but do they really mean it when they get there? That's going to be Ryan Pace's challenge. Is he sees Trubisky as this star. He saw him better than Deshaun Watson. Now it's going to have to be other people's view of it, and he's going to have to link that up together.
All right, let's move on and talk about some actual good teams here in the NFL, and specifically the NFC, Philadelphia, managed to win that game last night. It wasn't the most entertaining thing I've ever seen in my life, but they did pull out the W. And the NFC playoff picture is a little bit wide open from where I'm standing. I don't know who's the best team. In your opinion, who is the favorite in the NFC right now?
Well, I mean, the Eagles will be the number one seed, but they're far from the best team. I mean, look, last night they struggled. They put less than 220 yards against one of the worst defenses in football in the Raiders. I mean, everybody moves the ball effortlessly against the Raiders. The Eagles struggled to do it. Look, losing Carson Wentz is going to be the huge problem for the Eagles. They were the number two team in the National Football League in third and six or more, which means their offense wasn't really this explosive offense. What happened then was Carson Wentz would make these incredible plays, and they would take off. They 40% on third and six or more, which is unheard of in the NFL. Remarkable that he was able to do this. Now they don't have that. Now they have Nick Foles, and the regression has come back to the mean. And so they don't really have the same style of offense that they were good. Their quarterback gets hit way too much, which is one of the reasons why Wentz got hurt. It's going to be a challenge for them. I think Minnesota's a really good team in the division. In the NFC, I do think New Orleans, because they can run the football and their quarterback, Drew Brees, can make plays and their defense has been good consistently all season. I think those two teams, and then the Rams are the sleeper team. Look, the Rams can score points on anyone and they play good on the road. And they're going to have to go on the road. And I think that ultimately, you know, those are the three teams. I don't see Philly. Philly's happy they got home field advantage. But as you witnessed last night playing the Eagles at home, playing the Raiders at home, I don't think home field's going to matter in Philadelphia. I think the better team's going to be the visiting team when it goes into Philly.
When you look at it, one of the teams you mentioned there, the Minnesota Vikings, obviously they have their quarterback carousel that they've gone through the last couple of years now. What's the staying power for them atop the NFC North for not just this year, but for the foreseeable few years to come?
Look, when you get, you know, Mike Zimmer's a tough guy, and their team's tough. They're mentally tough. They're physically tough. They're good in all three areas, right? So they're good in the kicking game, that you have a hard time playing them in the kicking game. They're good on offense. They're good on defense. And when the game gets to third down, this is when they're really good, and they have a hard and you have a hard time really handling them. They have rushers, whether it's Danielle Hunter, whether it's Everson Griffin. I mean, they got guys that can get after the quarterback with the ability to make plays. And, I mean, this is a tough 60-minute football team, and some teams can play well for, you know, 40 minutes. Some teams can play well for 50. Some can play for 55. To beat the Vikings, you're going to have to play really good for 60 minutes. I didn't talk about Carolina. I think Carolina is the sleeper team as well because Carolina, like Minnesota, is tough-minded. They do enough on offense to scare you, and they're going to create some problems for you with their ability to play defense the way they can. So I think the NFC's got a wild, wild open, including – you know, even though the number one seed looks like, you know, everything goes through Philly, I think it's going to be wide open. I think there's going to be a lot of upsets in the NFC.
Over in the AFC, and I know, you know, you've got your usual suspects at the top there with New England and Pittsburgh, but a lot of love for the Jaguars over the past couple weeks I've been hearing as well. They lost over the weekend to the 49ers. Was that more of the Jags falling off here a little bit as the pressure gets turned up on them, or was that more Jimmy Garoppolo showing what he's all about?
I think that, you know, and I've said this all year, look, the Jaguars have to play a certain style. They're not a team that can play from behind. They got behind in that game 16-2. They fought their way back, but they weren't able to get the lead and extend themselves. Their defense is most effective when they can play from in front and they can be in a nickel game. What Kyle Shanahan did was expose them for what they really are in terms of keep them in their base unit, try to attack them in their zone defenses and make a living on that. And then Blake Bortles is going to have to make some tight throws into tight windows with accuracy, which he hasn't been able to do throughout his career. So I think Jacksonville will play better than they did, obviously, against San Francisco. They're a better team when they play at home, but there's a style they have to play, and if they get away from that style, it'll be difficult for them to win in the playoffs.
Steelers' role yesterday in Houston, that's not really the story, more about them getting the bye week and going straight to the divisional round. If Antonio Brown's anything less than 100%, which I think it's safe to say he probably will be at this point, when they would meet up with New England? Is there any chance they can go into Foxborough and get a win without him at his fullest?
You know, I think they can, and I think the formula was there when he got hurt. Look, they're going to have to control the football over 35 minutes when they play the Patriots, and they're going to have to be able to convert those third and fours that they didn't do in the game. Look, they had them beat the last time they played them. They had a third and four. The Patriots made the play, got the ball back, came down the field, and won the game. And then they had to make a huge play in the end zone to really win the game. So I think it's a nip-and-tuck game. I think it'll be a close game whether Brown plays or not. It'll be more Le'Veon Bell than it would be any other time. time, but the weather's going to play a factor in this game as well. As you can see now in the Northeast, with all the snow and all the cold weather, it's going to be impactful. And I think the Steelers can run the football, and the Patriots' defense has been a liability all season. They've been benefited from the fact that sometimes they play quarterbacks that are not the best quarterbacks consistently, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or this week they have Bryce Petty. So I do think the Steelers can pull an upset, and I think the Steelers can grow from the game because they had that game without Brown. They just didn't make the one play they needed to make to win it.
Speaking with Michael Lombardi here, follow all of his work at M. Lombardi NFL is how you can go and do that. When you look at the AFC, if it's not one of those two, we mentioned Jacksonville. Is there a chance of anyone else? Because it feels like that's where the real separation is after Pittsburgh there. Is there someone that sticks out?
No, I don't think there is. I mean, look, Baltimore, you know, they struggled to beat Indianapolis in a game they had to have. Indianapolis is throwing the ball in the end zone for, you know, I mean, that's the way Baltimore's been all season. I just don't see if there's another team. Now, Kansas City is one of those teams that can score points. Their defense is a liability. They can't really stop anybody. They're a man-to-man defense that doesn't have great cover guys. I know they have Marcus Peters, but he doesn't cover everybody. He can only cover one guy. I think that's going to be a challenge. I think they can win a game in a one round, but if they have to go on the road, which they'll be the 3 seed or 4 seed and have to go on the road, I think it's going to be hard whether they go back into Foxborough again. I think that'll be a challenging game for them.
I mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit earlier talking about the Niners-Jags game from over the weekend, but every single week this guy just looks like more and more of the complete and finished article, even with the lack of talent around him. He's throwing to guys that I wouldn't recognize if they walked in here with their jerseys on right now. How good is Jimmy Garoppolo already, and is there another level that he can take it to next year?
You know, I think what Jimmy Garoppolo proves is what Deshaun Watson proved too, right? So, like, everybody talks about, like, everybody wants to make excuses for Derek Carr. Well, he's lying, didn't play good. You know, great quarterbacks make everybody else play good. Deshaun Watson made everybody in Houston play good. Right, Jimmy Garoppolo is making everybody in San Francisco. You're right. You can't name 5 players on their offense. The starting right tackle, who wasn't playing well, Trent Brown, got hurt. Now they've got a backup playing right tackle who's a guard. I mean, he's just really gone in there and done exactly what great players do, is made everyone great. And he's accurate with the football. He does things that are unique. Scrambles to his left for a sidearm for a touchdown. He's got great competitiveness. He's an athlete. He can throw the ball with accuracy. And with Kyle Shanahan as his offensive coordinator, it's a dynamic duo because those two fit each other. The skill set that Garoppolo has and the ability that Kyle Shanahan has to enhance that skill set really makes him a great player, and I think he's going to be. Look, it doesn't surprise me. You know, I was in Cleveland in 2014. We did a lot of work on Jimmy. Got fired, went to New England. We drafted Jimmy in New England, predicated on a lot of the work we did, and I think he's just done everything that I thought he could do coming out of Eastern Illinois. He's really going to be a special talent in this league.
Michael, before we let you go, what do you make of the Aaron Rodgers handling with the IR and how it ticked off GMs and executives across the league?
Well, I mean, look, when you put a guy on IR, it's got to be the 6 to 8 week injury. I mean, and now they were basically just trying to create a roster spot. So there is some sense of people are right. Now, do they think they should release him? Absolutely not. They're not going to release him. But they should have to answer to the fact that they didn't redo this. He didn't get hurt again. They just wanted to create a roster spot. And that's something that you really can't do in the NFL. And I think the league's going to look into it. I wouldn't be surprised if they took away a draft pick from him.
Michael, appreciate the time. Some great stuff from you, as always, and we'll be following you on Twitter and for all your NFL news throughout.
Thanks a lot, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. That's Michael Lombardi. Follow him on Twitter at @MLombardiNFL.
We're saying Merry Christmas again. I love it for the fact that we're finally allowed to say it for the first time in 8 years. We're finally allowed to say Merry Christmas again. It feels good. It feels good.
Strangle you.
Feels great.
You're just so smart.
I haven't heard it in so long.
Yeah, right.
I haven't heard anybody say Merry Christmas in the last 8 years. This is the first year we've been able to say it again.
That's good.
So great.
That's awesome.
It's been tremendous.
Tremendous.
It's the best. Everybody's
great job talking with the Merry Christmas.
Everybody's talking about how great it is.
We're bringing Christmas back. Bringing sexy back, too. It's Nick Schapkowski, Kevin Zpack with you. I was curious about the Rodgers thing.
Weird.
It's weird. It's unique. I'm surprised it's not done more. Because you look at, in this time of year, it's starting to become a tradition, the college game, of, oh, if there's nothing to gain for a player, don't play in a bowl game. If it's anything less than playing for a national championship or in the playoff, don't play in a bowl game if you're going to the draft. And you saw Christian McCaffrey do that last year, you saw Leonard Fournette do it, and you saw the number rise of guys that are doing it this year. In the NFL, you get to this point in the season, And if your team's not playing for a playoff spot, if you have an asset that's, I mean, when he's on, he's the best player in the league, and that's Aaron Rodgers. When your other teams with franchise quarterbacks that aren't playing for a postseason spot, if you're like the Bears were a few years ago, and Brian Urlacher tears apart his knee and is never the same player after a Week 17 game when they were eliminated against the Minnesota Vikings. Like, I guess I'm just surprised that rosters aren't handled that way a little bit more frequently to say, hey, this guy's our asset. There's nothing we win from this. The GM puts him on IR, and you sit them just in order to kind of preserve them for the year or years to come.
I feel like it's just another one of these things with the NFL where nobody is really sure what the hell's going on, whether it's a catch, whether it's a rule in the IR, whether it's this, that, or the third. The NFL is in such a weird spot right now, and you have so many people, you know, begrudging them for trying to make the game safer, and okay, well, you can't even tackle a guy anymore, and then there's people on the other side saying, okay, well, I don't like the game anymore because you can't hit the guy, and I don't care if people are getting hurt. They know what they're getting themselves into. I feel like it's not really a, you know, it might be overstating it to say it's kind of a plateau right now, the NFL. You know, the ratings are down a little, but I don't think it's anything too drastic like that. But I think in the next 5 years to come, it will be interesting to see some of the things that they try to fix, because over the last few years, there's been lots of weird things with the NFL popping up, and I think it bothers some people and it bothers other people for different reasons.
This hour brought to you by Horowitz and Horowitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. What's the worst thing about the NFL to you right now?
The worst thing in the NFL to me right now?
Like, if you're not going to watch an NFL game, why is it? I mean, obviously, if you're outside of the Chicago market, you're not going to turn on Bears and Browns because you hate awful football.
Well, right. I think it's
The quarterback play is
absolutely
number one for you.
I mean, just look at the teams that are in the playoffs right now. We were just talking about the playoff picture with Michael Lombardi. A lot of these teams that are in the playoffs right now still don't even have great quarterbacks. I mean, Blake Bortles, is that a guy that's going to lead you to a Super Bowl? Marcus Mariota doesn't look like he's a franchise quarterback. Kansas City, we know we've been around the Alex Smith train dozens of times.
Feels like decades.
Joe Flacco is elite. We know that. And he does have a Super Bowl under his belt somehow. But I don't know. It's very, very weird right now with the NFL, and especially with some of the crappy quarterbacks in the AFC.
Yeah, AFC, it's where I think it's a lighter load.
Would love to see New England and Pittsburgh both lose the first games that they play.
You wouldn't.
Just for complete mayhem.
You wouldn't like to see that at all.
That's absolutely what I want.
Because that could be an incredibly boring and awful championship game.
Good.
AFC championship game. You don't want to see that.
I do.
You want to see a couple of villains in Brady and Roethlisberger in the AFC title. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's Kevin Zipak. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. Is there something about the NFL that especially sticks to you as being that's the reason?
What sticks in your craw?
That's Kevin
Light
Zipak. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. We'll continue that conversation. Touch on some more baseball as well. There was one thing from Michael Lombardi that I want to revisit there as well as it plays into the Bears. Coming up next is this segment brought to you by Burlington. Go back to basics at your Burlington store and score the everyday essentials you need, like socks, underwear, denim, plus towels, sheets, and stylish storage, too. Burlington, style for everyone.
847 Texter says they need the XFL reboot to take its place. Are you excited for Vince bringing back the XFL? Have you heard about that?
You hear about that?
Have you seen this?
You hear about this? Discuss the XFL and all the glory that was Tommy Maddox.
Now
next
that's a
on
tease.
The score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It's Nick Szczepkowski, Kevin Zipak with you up until 1 o'clock today. We're in for Spiegel and Parkins. You catch them here every weekday, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Coming up after the scoreboard update, Kevin has something fascinating that he has found on Twitter from one of our listeners.
Do I?
I don't know about fascinating. Maybe that's overselling, but that's kind of what we're in the business of.
Okay, that's fine. Do you think while you're doing your update, if I turn my mic off, can I sit here and eat my pork rinds?
As long as they don't smell up the studio.
Okay.
That's all I ask.
Because they're
all
pretty
I require
crunchy.
Of you, because I know you're a big pork rinds guy.
Yeah.
So is Bernstein.
Bernstein, too. We can talk
and
about
I
it a little
to,
bit later.
I hate to take away anyone else's joy in the little things in life, but I don't know how the hell you eat any of those without gagging.
Pork rinds.
Pork rinds.
Bagged pork grinds like that, I can't eat, but the ones off the guy that sells the corn and the, the cart guy,
the authentic,
yeah,
chicharrones,
yeah, chicharrones, okay. Yeah, that guy. Those pork rinds are,
you know,
someone opens up a bag of pork rinds around me, and I honestly want to puke.
They don't smell great. I will give you that. As
and
long as
something smells bad, how do you eat it well? Like, how do you?
Well, I'm not going to touch that one.
Enjoy eating. Oh boy.
But if as long as you don't smell them while you're eating them,
but how can you help it? Like, you have the least powerful nose ever. Oh God. You're doing the 11:30 update. Welcome back in. Nick Szepkowski with you. Kevin Zipak with you up until 1 o'clock today as we're in for Spiegel and Parkins on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. I know you have we have audio coming up here shortly from Josh Rosen, UCLA quarterback, figures to be a very high draft pick in April's NFL draft. We'll share that with you on his thoughts on bowl games with essentially nothing to gain theoretically. But there was something there from Michael Lombardi that I wanted to rediscover or look back on very briefly here and kind of bring it up in terms of how it sits with the Bears. We asked Michael Lombardi about the Bears coaching search and who's going to play a role in it. And how much Ted Phillips was going to, and you say his answer was when we asked of, yeah, Ted Phillips is going to be in that room and he's going to be helping coordinate that part of it. I do want to point out that Dan Bernstein, our very own, that we'll talk to at 1 o'clock during transition today on the 24th on Christmas Eve when that news broke, he did tweet out the following that sources, any Bears coaching hire will be made by Pace. Ted Phillips' only role is to contact other teams regarding availability of potential candidates in his capacity as president. Bears just following protocol in that regard. He goes on to say Pace is the top Bears football voice. At this stage, Phillips is ensuring that all contractual and league obligations are followed properly as they consider options. That was his two-part tweet from that just days ago in regards to that news. I'm with you, though. I hear Ted Phillips' name attached to anything.
And you cringe.
And I do cringe.
Yeah.
Because there's a bad taste in your mouth, much like what pork rinds leaves.
No, those are fantastic. We talked about it a little bit earlier on the program. You know, Ted Phillips is pretty much set in stone as president of the Bears, or, you know, his official title that was sent to us, you know, president and CEO of the organization. Not a football guy. But he's somebody who fancies himself as a football guy, I'm sure. You know, it's not osmosis. You can't just hang around a pro football franchise for 30-plus years and just become a football guy once you were an accountant or whatever the hell he was before that. That's just not the way it works.
If you're in that building, if you're in that office for that damn long, like, when do you make that transition to football guy? Like,
I think
you have a certain window of, hey, all right, yep, you're seen as accountant. You're seen as this.
Well, people still see him
your
as that.
Your name keeps
That's why people call him a bean counter all
it.
The time. That's very insulting. Have you ever counted beans?
I used to all the time.
Arduous.
Yeah, I used to like have
tedious behavior.
Lima beans that I'd play with my Tonka trucks instead of actual and real dirt.
Wow. They're
much easier to clean up.
Were you a very deprived child?
Not at all.
No?
Had the Tonkas and the toy set and everything else. Well, that's a conversation that comes up when you bring up Ted Phillips' name. Because that's the way he's viewed, and because of the shortcomings of this organization for years and years now. Hell, how many teams in the NFL have a longer streak of not making the postseason than our very own here? Chicago's beloved.
Well,
it's like the Browns, maybe the Buccaneers.
The Bucs, I think, have a longer streak.
There can't be many on that list. There can't be many in that conversation of who has a longer streak of that. And when you have Ted Phillips in that name, I mean, he can just be doing the work of, oh, contact the Eagles about their assistant coaches that might be interested. He might have, that might be his only task, but it's not going to be viewed like that.
But, and again, something else we talked to Michael Lombardi about. You know, I asked him, what has Ryan Pace done to justify being able to keep his job and hire another head coach? And I'm not as down on Ryan Pace as a lot of people are. You know, I made up a little list before the program here of his hits, misses, and question marks in the draft. More misses than anything else. And if you look at the free agency outside of Akeem Hicks, who's been fantastic, it's, again, more misses than hits. I'm of the mind that if you keep changing everything over every 3 years, like you said earlier, you sort of become the Browns, and that's the last thing anybody in professional sports wants to be. So I think you give Pace a chance to hire a head coach, you know, because there's still conflicting opinions on how much he wanted John Fox here. The organization brought in Ernie Accorsi before Pace was hired to go out and find the next head coach. because
and that ended up great.
Ended up really poorly because there's such little football acumen in Hallis Hall between the McCaskies and Ted Phillips that they have to go out and hire Ernie Accorsi to hire a John Fox. So, you know, that search began for the next head coach before the GM was brought in. Obviously, you have to figure that Pace okayed the decision if he's the general manager, the head football guy, so to speak. He probably liked it on some level. But again, I think that you do have to go with trying to find that next, like I said, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, that young offensive guy. It's just a matter of sorting out who it actually is.
Yeah, I look at that part of it, and I don't like it necessarily. Obviously, anything Ted Phillips is going to be attached to. But when we're evaluating Ryan Pace as a whole, and I know this is a more conversation that we can get deeper into with it, when you're evaluating him as a whole and what he's done well, what he's done not done well, like, I'd rather have a guy who can draft well than just, like, tear up free agency. Because ultimately, that's the lifeblood of your franchise. You look at it, and it's Kevin White is a bust, is a first-round pick. And he's played in, what, 5 games in 3 seasons now, and there's no reason to have any hope on him being anything special as a Chicago Bear moving forward. But, like, there's that part of it. But then you look at some of the other things that he's done well of, like, Cody Whitehair. No one knew who Cody Whitehair was when he was drafted here. Oh, offensive lineman out of Kansas State. And I think the Bears have stunted his growth because every week he's playing a different position on the line because of lack of capable and able bodies across the offensive line. And I think that they're more to blame of his down 2017 than anyone else.
Yeah, and I
because
do like,
of lack of bodies elsewhere.
But I
think
Cody
that you look at what he's done, Pace has done, the Bears haven't drafted this well in a decade.
Does that speak to how well Ryan Pace is doing, or does that speak to how poorly Phil Emery
because
and Jerry Angelo
lighting it
were
up
doing?
Either.
No, they're
like,
not they're exactly.
You don't look
up.
At it and you're like, man, that is a kick-ass draft, and that's going to be guys that are in the league for 10 years, 4 or 5 guys deep. But it's also not what you look at and say, oh, whatever year the Bears drafted Gabe Creamy, and you look at like the guys and how fast they were out of the NFL in that draft for the Bears, and you're like, oh my goodness. So I think it speaks to both.
Gabe Creamy. I like Cody
Setting
Whitehair.
Forte free.
And you've got a couple good running backs. I really like Tariq Cohen. Jordan Howard's obviously
you
a pro
really
bowler.
You really like Tariq Cohen?
I love Tariq Cohen. I get a lot of flack for this
that's
on the
long.
Morning show, too.
That's strong.
I get a lot of flack for
like
this on the morning
thing.
Show. No, I
love
Tariq Cohen.
Love is strong.
I think he's very good on Twitter, which is a big part of my life.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, you can tweet us both. I'm at Kevbo _. He is at Shep670. He's verified, by the way, for some reason. I still can't get the blue check mark. But tweet at us. Tariq Cohen is great
Tell me
on
more
Twitter.
About how you don't have a blue check mark.
No, I don't want to delve into it because then I'll make myself sad and I'll have to write another angry email to Twitter.
Okay. And that worked out so well for you last time. But what do you love about
him? He'll be
Tariq
more strongly
Cohen?
Worded.
Like, he's fine.
He's exciting.
He is exciting.
Isn't he?
He's an electric player.
He's something different.
He also loves to, when the punt hits the ground and rolling around, he loves to run up unnecessarily.
He does
and get
do that.
Way too
quite
damn
a bit,
close.
Doesn't he?
Way too damn often.
He's just the only thing that I have to say negative about Tariq Cohen, because I am a little bit higher on him than most people, seemingly.
You don't say.
But I think he is kind of a luxury player. He's something that you would like to add to a team once you have everything else set at every position. That's the only criticism I can really bestow upon the Tariq Cohen pick right now. It seemed like more of something that they didn't quite need, just something that they wanted. But if you look at the other quote-unquote hits that he's made, you know, you do have Eddie Jackson, who I think is still a work in progress, but I think there
I
was...
think it's more good than you've seen bad from
more
Eddie Jackson.
More good than bad, I think. You know, it's
think
rookie,
a lot more good
rookie moments
yeah.
that you've seen there, and maybe some problems tackling, but hopefully things that he can grow with. Eddie Goldman, I think, is a hell of a player, but again, we talked about earlier his inability to stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And Adrian Amos, who is an interesting case because... he's a guy who, when you watch and you talk to quote-unquote football people, they don't think he's anything special at all. And then you go and you take a look at Pro Football Focus, and he's
they
been...
They love him.
They love him.
Forget Harrison Smith.
Your guy,
rather
Harrison
have
Smith.
Adrian Amos.
Yeah. And apparently Adrian Amos is the second or third best safety in the NFC.
That's where I'm lost on the Pro Football Focus
right?
thing. Like
yeah.
I like a lot of things that they do, and I feel like by reading some of their work, you learn a lot more about the game. I need somebody to explain the Adrian Amos thing to me, though. Because I do not understand it to save my life. Pro Bowl snub? Like, he was their number one Pro Bowl snub?
It's unbelievable.
What?
I mean, I
feel like I watch the Bears games, and I feel like I watch them closely.
Sure.
Maybe I don't watch them closely enough.
Apparently not.
Because that's a guy that is still, he's out there, and he's a solid tackler, something that in safety play is
he's a professional
valuable.
Football player.
But in terms of playmaking ability?
He's an NFL football player.
That is
that's what you look at
him
and you
see. Not
something
that's on his business card.
But those were the hits, by the way, that I went through there.
And you could, the hits.
You can include Leonard Floyd on that list, too, even though he's been hurt both years here. But you look at the misses, and there are far more misses than hits. Kevin White, Hronis Grassou, Jeremy Langford, DeAndre Hall, Deion Bush, Jordan Morgan. The jury is still out on a lot of these guys. Jonathan Bullard, DeAndre Houston Carson, Adam Shaheen. Is he ever going to be anything
more? Do you have a second-round pick?
Yeah, the 45th pick overall in the draft, Adam Shaheen. So a lot more questions than answers with what Ryan Pace has been able to do with the draft. Like I said, I'm not advocating firing him. I think that would be a little hasty right now, but you do have to kind of wonder in the back of your mind, has he actually deserved to keep his job?
That's Kevin Zipek. I'm Nick Szepkowski. You mentioned a name there in Adam Shaheen that I'm finding myself having a problem I had 4 or 5 years ago as well with a Bears player and what another team happens to have on their roster instead of said Bears player. We'll discuss that next. Nick Szepkowski, Kevin Zipek, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in. Nick Szepkowski and Kevin Zipek with you this morning up until 1 o'clock this afternoon, 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. About 10 minutes from now, we'll talk to Steve Ashburner, discuss what was the NBA slate of games on Christmas Day.
A lot of good games.
A lot of good games yesterday.
I enjoy that. That's one of my new favorite holiday traditions is sitting there
new?
Parked in front of the television. What do you mean me?
I said new.
Oh, new-ish. I mean, I feel like within the last, 10 years, it's been more of a thing with the full slate of NBA games.
Okay, from 11
from
o'clock
like
11 in the morning
to
until 11 o'clock
11.
At night or whatever
that's what
it
I'm
is.
Talking about here.
All right, I'll go with you on that part of it because I'm like, I remember the Bulls were playing every Christmas when I was a kid. Bulls, Knicks.
But now it's like a thing, you know, like on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, you have NFL all day and you associate the NFL with Thanksgiving. I feel like now, me, myself, at least, associate NBA basketball with Christmas because it is just, you pop it on there at about 10, 11 in the morning, and you're good to go the whole day. I think it's fantastic.
I mentioned before that I'm having not an issue with Adam Shaheen. I think he's going to be a work in progress for a couple of years because it's just the lack
generous.
Of... Yeah, because of the lack of football that he played.
You mean he wasn't prepared for the NFL at Ashland University?
It somehow
is that what
was
you're implying?
Not. But I'm having flashbacks to 2010 when I'm starting to see something happen across the league here. Because you see that Adam Shaheen was drafted in the second round this year, and because of the trade that was made and to get the Bears to move up and get Trubisky, they have to give up a third-round pick, and you have to maybe rearrange what your draft's going to be. Okay, I get that. I understand that. But the Bears took Adam Shaheen, and you continue to see what the Steelers draft in one Juju Smith-Schuster. And it's, I know he's not the number one target on that team. Hell, Martavius Bryant's ahead of him as well. And Antonio Brown, he speaks for himself. But I'm having flashbacks to 2010 as well, because that's when the Bears drafted Dan LeFevre in the sixth round. And sure, everyone had their chances left and right to take Antonio Brown by then. But the Bears were the team that watched the film on Antonio Brown's college quarterback endlessly because they drafted him and said that we need that guy, not the one making all
Who's
the plays.
Who's the one making the plays?
Not
it doesn't matter.
The one
matter.
Making all the plays and yards after catch and returning punts and kicks and everything else. We want the one that's barely getting him the football. And I'm having flashbacks of, oh, God, the Steelers have another really damn good wide receiver. The Bears don't have anyone to throw to. And they said they have this big heaping tight end that we know nothing about 16 weeks into his rookie year.
Well, this is what the plan was for Ryan Pace, apparently, was Mitch Trubisky was going to be Drew Brees.
By himself a couple of years.
And Adam Shaheen was going to be Jimmy Graham.
Okay, well, we got a little ways to go here. We got a little ways to go until Adam Shaheen turns into Jimmy Graham.
Does Shaheen look more like Jimmy Graham right now, or does Trubisky look more like Drew Brees? Where's the bigger gap there?
God. Oh, Lord.
And I'm not trying to denigrate Mitchell Trubisky or write him off or dismiss him or anything like that, but something to go back to what we talked with Michael Lombardi about at 11 o'clock. Jimmy Garoppolo, what he's doing with San Francisco right now.
With nothing around him.
That team is completely bereft of talent everywhere, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. Great quarterbacks do make everybody around them better. And you can make excuses for Trubisky. We've kind of been doing it all year. I don't know if it's excuse making or patience or kid handling or whatever you want to call it. But the main prevailing narrative with Mitchell Trubisky this season has been, oh, he doesn't have anybody to throw to. There's inconsistencies on the offensive line. The play calling's no good. This, that, and third. And you could say all of the same things for Jimmy Garoppolo. But look at what he's been able to do there in San Francisco. It's just, and you could have had him here.
You could have.
You could have.
I don't know what
the
cost would have been, but I wonder.
But he was available.
Wonder how it would have compared to what they gave up for Trubisky.
He was
and
available.
Years of control before free agency and all of that plays into it as well. But I wonder what it would have been versus what Trubisky cost you. Also, this segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First time users can enter promo code CITY. For $10 off, Spot Hero, park smarter.
217 Texter says, Kevin, let's talk about something really important. What flavor pork rinds do you enjoy the most? Regular, barbecue, or hot and spicy? Now, I like all three.
I didn't know there were different pork rind flavors. I just assumed they were all just awful pork rinds that smell up every room you're in.
Plebeian.
Oh, come on. I'm from Coal City. You'd think if anyone knew anything about pork rinds, it would be me.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Maybe they haven't made them.
They have farms.
They haven't made them to Coal City quite yet. To answer the question, hot and spicy is my go-to, but most often here in the vending machine at the score, we have barbecue, so I settle for them, and they're very good.
Well, if you're choosing pork rinds, you're automatically settling by default. Harper College believes in you. Not if you have pork rinds, though. With degrees and certificates in fields such as entrepreneurship, engineering, and therapeutic massage, you can start, finish, and go forward with your career. Classes begin January 16th. Visit harpercollege.edu today. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. You have Bears evaluation of Ryan Pace talk that you want to have. We'll have that in the 12 o'clock hour. Revisit some of the Jake Arrieta discussion as well. And one thing we haven't done yet is recap yesterday's excellent slate of NBA games. We'll do that next with Steve Ashburner on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.